The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
It's Jalen Anthony Rose. I'm David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby. What is it that we do?
We get the people.
What they want.
We have Rams legend, Super Bowl champion Marshall Faulk joining us later on the show. We have some big trade news in the NBA, but of course we start with the Super Bowl send-off. Two different rallies, one in Cincinnati, one in Los Angeles, and frankly, two different vibes. Friend of the show, Gary Owen, hosted the one in Cincinnati. This is the one in LA, but there's a lot more enthusiasm amongst Bengals fans. There's also a lot more attendance amongst Bengals fans. Mr. Rose, two very different rallies as these teams head to LA to face off in the Super Bowl. Obviously a longer trip for the Bengals. Does this kind of support from your city, does this sort of fan passion and support translate to the field when it's time for kickoff?
It definitely does. Home support always matters. Look on any level of competition, and we're talking about, in this case, football. In high school, college, or pros, usually teams' record are better when they play at home. Now, what you're saying about the celebrations or the send-offs, that's now becomes a function of expectations in the history of each franchise and where they're located. So when you're a Midwestern team, in this case, the Bengals, who've only been to a couple of Super Bowls, who've never won a Super Bowl, and their team is now all of a sudden propelled itself a couple of years, in my opinion, ahead of schedule. I mean, Chase is a rookie. You know what I'm saying? And so for them to be at this point, they can celebrate the journey. But when you're in Los Angeles and you're one of the tickets in town, there's a reason why they add Stafford, Odell, Von Miller, because they need to go for it right now.
Right now.
And so when they have a send-off, it's like, first off, y'all play the game here. Second, we celebrating all of the time. You know what I'm saying? So, like, we'll see y'all when the game starts. And y'all take care of business, and we'll celebrate afterwards. We got to get these Lakers closer to 500. We got to focus on these Clippers and see if Kawhi's going to come back. It's other things for them to focus on right now.
I think that's a good point. And one thing I want to mention and back you up on is the schedules of the franchises. Like, the Rams are all in. That's what everyone says about them all year. They're all in. They need to win now. And the Bengals, Joe Burrow was the number one pick. Do you know how you get to be the number one pick? By having the worst record in the league. And that was just 2 years ago. So if you think about the futures of these franchises, there's a lot more pressure on the Rams to win. But now it's time for us to focus on the X's and O's. And there's something that's very interesting going on between the Bengals offense and the Rams defense. Jalen Ramsey, one of the best corners in the league, if not the best corner in the league.
There you go.
Oftentimes will stay on one side of the field, doesn't follow around a star receiver. Well, guess what? He says that he wants to change that for the Super Bowl and follow Ja'Marr Chase. What do you think about Jalen ahead of the game saying that he wants to follow Chase?
All I know is this. Jalen Ramsey is a beast. And the thing about not only having the ability to follow a receiver all over the field, even though that's not what their defense calls for him to do, he has the ability. But he also will come up and tackle. You know what I'm saying? Like, I appreciate that from how he performs. And also he can, you know, blitz as well if they want to use him as a run blitzer. But here's the thing. If that's not what they've done all season, I don't think they're going to scrap it and do it now. If something happens during the game where Chase starts to get going, then obviously you got to reconsider. Now here's the Chuck D pieces in one big chess game. Yeah! Lining up Chase on the outside during the regular season, going one-on-one, he got more yards than anybody in the NFL. So if they're going to line him up like that, then you can easily have Ramsey follow him. But if you're the Bengals, Why would you do that? He's such a versatile weapon. Use him on both sides. Use him in bubble screens. Use him in cross routes. Use him to go. Use him all over the field. So if the Rams haven't had Ramsey doing that all season, I don't think you now go into the game and change that philosophy.
It's interesting. The only reason I say that maybe you could do it is because the Super Bowl is unique in that you get 2 weeks to prepare for the game, unlike the normal 1 week schedule through the playoffs in the regular season.
Good point.
So perhaps because that extra time, as you mentioned, they know what they've got their stuff already. Maybe they have an adjustment they can make where Ramsey does follow Chase. But one thing about Chase is one person does not stop that man. One person does not stop him, even if it is Jalen Ramsey. Like you mentioned, they use him in so many different ways. They do such a good job of just getting him the football, being one of their best athletes, something that other teams need to do more of. And I'm looking at you, Dallas and CeeDee Lamb. Moving on, this one, Jalen, I can't wait to hear what you have to say about this. It is time for things that get socially awkward. Oh, Jalen, things got socially awkward in Phoenix. This might not seem like a big deal, but this is a big deal. You know we love the Cardinals. Kyler Murray, quarterback of the Cardinals, has unfollowed the team on social media and deleted all Cardinals-related pictures. Jalen, you remember when Kingsbury drafted him number one, and he has had some great success, especially early in the seasons. However, something's going on behind the scenes. These two are not seeing eye to eye. Jalen, what is happening with Kyler?
Wow. You get out of line, you get whacked. Everybody knows the rules. And let me make sure I highlight why I call my guy Kyler Pesci. Because usually when you see Joe Pesci in the movie, he may seem like the smallest guy in the room because usually he is, but he walks softly and carries a big stick. And so Kyler Murray, I see that trait in him, and I love it so much. Like, just think about the time when he threw that Hail Mary to D-Hop. He was running out of bounds, getting hit by a 300-pound dude. He didn't even see him catch the ball. Like, it's incredible some of the things I see this gentleman do at his size. And so for me, when he unfollows the Cardinals, it tells me that they said something or did something that he didn't like. And you know what happens when you cross Kyler Pesci. You get whacked on social media. And that's what happened to the Cardinals.
This reminds me a little bit, it's not the same, but a little bit of the Ben Simmons situation. We have a star player on a team that doesn't perform in the playoffs in the biggest moments, and then that creates tension between them and the team. We all watched Kyler Murray in that Rams game. I might have even bet on Kyler Murray in this Rams game. Well, guess what? He did not play well in his one and only playoff game. This pass in particular really kind of changed the whole momentum and kind of took the Cardinals out of the game. Jalen,
hold on.
What could have potentially happened to cause this sort of pettiness? Your man Kyler Pesci has turned into Kyler Petty He's communicating to the world that him and the Cardinals are not seeing eye to eye through social media.
Dog, let me tell you something. Play that one low light where he's in the end zone and the dude basically folds him in half like he's in Buffalo jumping on a table before a game. Like, right, look here at this, dog. What do you mean? Can you block for my guy? They about to get him killed. Look, like, catch the ball. Like, this ain't no Ben Simmons. Like, if you're the Cardinals, and I'm going to say this tongue-in-cheek, a bird in a hand is worth more than a bush.
Oh, you're not doing
you
better
go
than Kyler Murray.
Kyler Murray, and you give him whatever he wants. You bring him a blank check, and you say, yes, Kyler, yes, Kyler, yes, Kyler. That's what you do. Anything else is not smart if you're the Cards.
If you are the Cardinals, you have to look in the mirror and say to yourself, how many other franchises would love to have Kyler Murray as their quarterback? I think it's like 25. You know
correct
what I mean? Like, how many franchises would love to have Kyler Murray locked into a long contract for the next 4 or 5 years? Just ask yourself that, Cardinals. Keep Kyler Murray. Kyler, we got your back here on Jalen Jacoby, as
no
always.
Doubt.
Some other interesting rumors about star quarterbacks in the NFL. Tom Brady, retired. Was reported he retired, famously retired, didn't thank the Patriots. He's retired, right? Well, he said, I'm just going to take things as they come. You never say never. I feel very good about my decision. I don't know how I'll feel in 6 months from now. Jalen, I think this means that Tom Brady's going to play in the NFL again.
All I know is this. Shout to TB12 and Jim Gray. And I get it. The one time, one of the seven times he won a Super Bowl or one of the famous sound bites was, "Let's go!" But for the name of the podcast, that's meh. That's mid. But in all honesty, here's the thing, fam. Tom Brady ain't coming back to play. And now that he's on the other side, of course it benefits him when a team's quarterback goes down and now a general manager acts like he's reaching out to Tom and that type of thing. But when he stepped away for the game, he stepped away for good. And rightfully so. That's why he's the GOAT.
Okay, counterpoint. He had one of his best seasons. Like, he was number two in the MVP voting that hasn't come out yet. We're assuming that he's number two. Jalen, he threw for over 5,000 yards.
Literally.
And he looked good doing it. Why not play another season if he feels the passion? Because right after the season ends, you feel differently than right before the next one begins.
So I got to tell you something. You professional, handsome, amazing husband and dad. Oh,
thank you.
He said that he wanted to go spend time with his family.
Once you do that, you don't want to spend time with your family no more. 2 months of that, he'll be right back there in the field. 3 months of spending time with the family, he'll be calling up GMs all over the NFL trying to get into training camp. Jalen, who is joining us next in just minutes on Jalen Jacoby?
Super Bowl champion, All-Pro, dual threat, Marshall Faulk is joining Jalen and Jacoby next. The Hall of Famer will be with us.
Coming to you live from the Seaport, New York City, brought to you by Chase. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, who is joining us right now?
A legend, a Hall of Famer, one of my favorite football players of all time, a champion, a dual threat. Marshall Faulk is joining Jalen and Jacoby. Thank you for stopping by, family.
All good, man. How y'all doing?
Oh, we're doing great.
We appreciate you. So what is it like for you to see these Rams that you formerly won a Super Bowl with back in the Super Bowl this season?
It's always good, man. You know how it is, Jalen. When your former team, or whether it's your college team or a team you played for in the pros, mm-hmm. when they're back mm-hmm. in the Super Bowl, you're back in the Super Bowl. And uh-huh. and the experiences and the reminiscence of when you played and the stuff you went through and how you played and the difference in the game back then and today, all of that stuff starts to come up. And it's just fun, man. It's fun. Like, you get to relive those memories.
What is the roadmap for these Rams to pull off this win against the Bengals on Sunday?
I think they can't, you know, like, literally, you just can't disrespect the Bengals. They've been bad for so long, and I think there's just like a little shock and awe when you see them. You're watching, like, is this really the Bengals? Like, is it the Bengals? Literally, I'm watching. Normally, you don't see fans wearing Bengals hats and stuff like right. that. And it's just like, hey, the Bengals got fans too. And not to mention, the collection of talent over the last 2 to 3 years, they are showing up. And I'm going to tell you, if you look at the talent, those guys that are playing, they played on the big stage in national championship games. Mm-hmm. They're going to show up ready to play in the Super Bowl. They might be more ready than some of the guys for the Rams because Ooh. They played a big game. I'm just telling you, don't be surprised. Do not be surprised. The stage is big, and if you're not accustomed to playing on big stages, it could be a surprise early in the game, and the Rams could get behind and be playing catch-up.
Well, if that's the case, Marshall, so Matthew Stafford is also a quarterback in this game that played for my Lions for a long time who hasn't clearly been on this stage. And sometimes he will throw the football to the other team. So talk about him now being on this stage and the importance of taking care of the football.
Yeah, and listen, there's nothing harder than getting to the place you've tried to get all your life. He's tried to get here, and you're here, and the game might not even be about you. It might be about handing the football off. How do you not get in the way of winning the Super Bowl? Well, I'm going to tell you, because I was on the other end of a guy doing exactly that who we just saw retired. I think he threw for like 160 yards, two touchdowns. Mm-hmm. Tom Brady didn't have a great game against us, but guess what he did? He won. Matthew Stafford, it's about winning. It's not about stats. He filled up the stat sheet in Detroit. It's about winning now. When you get here, it's about winning. They're not going to care about what your numbers are. Nobody cares. Nobody never talk about how many yards people threw against. They talk about Tom Brady won the game.
Right.
You got to win here.
Well, one of the things that has put the Rams in this position is Cam Akers coming back. You mentioned Matt Stafford sort of potentially game managing and handing the ball off. What is it about the Rams' offensive line and Akers that could be successful against the Bengals' D?
You know, I'm going to tell you, it's all Cam Akers, because this offensive line, they've been reliable. And Sony Michel is a good back. He's serviceable. You know, he's a guy that can get you the tough yards, and he can break a long one. But Cam Akers has that effect, that splash effect, man. It just looks different. And when he's running, he gets to the second level. It's like it's a big play waiting to happen. So, addition to him, and let me say this, Jalen, I know you know sports. Guys don't tear their Achilles in July and then make it back the same season.
That is crazy.
Do you know the work that this kid put in? He put in some work, and I was like, oh, maybe he'll have a limp. I don't know. Oh, my God. I'm impressed. I am thoroughly impressed.
How about Joe Burrow? Here's a team, had two wins, four wins, now they're in the Super Bowl. And when we see him showing up with his gold chain and his bus, he'll never have to buy barbecue again. So talk about what you have to see from Joe Burrow.
Hey, listen. There's been many a Joes who have quarterbacks in this league. And what he's saying is, I'm not an average Joe. Put me with Joe Namath and Joe Montana.
Yes.
That's what he's saying. I'm no average Joe. And he's walking the walk and talk. You can't even say anything about it. You can't even say, what can you say? Because he's the first quarterback I've seen get sacked 9 times in a playoff game and win.
Crazy.
People don't understand that. People do not understand that. Unheard of.
Well, obviously you were part of one of the most potent offenses in history with the greatest show on turf with these Rams. Do you see any offenses that compare to that one?
You know, I'll give it to, because they've done it consistently, the Kansas City Chiefs. They've done it consistently. It hasn't just been a splash. Consistently, you've seen them just be dynamic on the offensive side of the ball. And the defense has suffered for it, in a sense, but I like what Kansas City is doing. I like what Andy Reid does there. They have the pieces at every position. And they got one of the greatest facilitators ever in Mahomes.
Well, I have to say this. Hold on. My brother Marshall Faulk is being humble right now. I saw this man in Indy, and everybody saw him win the Super Bowl with the Rams. And let me tell you something. The difference between the Kansas City offense and the greatest show on turf is him.
Yep.
Okay? They ain't got nobody coming out of the backfield running the way he was running, catching the way he was catching. You know, Isaac Bruce, Torrey Holt, Kurt Warner, like, that was something special. And so how does it feel for you to know that was like a modern-day game-changing agent for how we see teams play football nowadays?
You know, I'm going to tell you what I think about when I look at how I played the game. It's kind of like I just enjoy doing it all. You know, I didn't want to be labeled a running back. I wanted to be labeled a football player, because in high school I played quarterback, receiver, running back, kickoff, punt return. I played on defense. And I just wanted to be a football player. I'm going to relate it to basketball for you. I think when Steph Curry came in, he just shot the ball as much as he could. It didn't matter if it was three, if it was half court. You don't really know what you're doing at that point in time, and you realize people start to mimic what they see. And that's literally what happened. It was like, okay, I want a back that can catch, that can run the ball inside and out, and that can play all three downs. And now, if you don't have that back, you're subbing three and four guys in just to get that dynamic.
Correct.
Yep. And pick up blitzes. You also did that, you know what I mean? And with the way you're subbing in running backs nowadays, the other team knows kind of what you're doing. Now, before we let you go, I know you've got a lot going on today. Part of the Super Bowl experience is food. What do you have coming up this week with the Culinary Kickoff?
Yeah, man, it's a big event. You know, we've actually taken this event so big that it's now going to go across different sports. And food is so huge, but here's the dynamic of what we're doing. I have some great partners, Charles Woodson, Michael Mina, Charlie Palmer, and we literally get together and we create these experiences to where people come in, you mingle, you mix, you have great food, but we donate monies to create opportunities for chefs to go to culinary school, and we pay for that. We give them scholarships so they can people from our community, they're good cooks. They don't get a chance to be a chef. We're getting a chance to be a chef, and we're making a difference in a different light. Doesn't have to be a sport. Talent is talent, and trust me, the cooking talent, matters too.
Thank you so much. Congratulations on everything you've got going on this week. Appreciate you stopping by the show.
Brother, appreciate you. Enjoy the Super Bowl.
Right on. Thanks for having me on.
We'll be back right after this very short break, talking to CJ McCollum Trey.
April 2nd, 1984, John Thompson's Georgetown Hoyas, led by Patrick Ewing, beat Houston in the NCAA championship game, making Thompson the first black coach to win an NCAA basketball title. Thompson became a coaching icon during his 27 years at Georgetown. When he passed away in 2020, several coaches honored him by wearing his signature white towel.
Doubleheader Wednesday night on ESPN. It is the Bulls taking on all-star LaMelo Ball at 7:30. And then in the nightcap Western Conference matchup between the Warriors and the Jazz, you get countdown before all that at 7 p.m. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen Rose, we have a pretty big trade in the NBA involving six players and some draft compensation. But the principle is this. CJ McCollum is going to the Pelicans. That makes this Pelican roster very interesting, especially when and if Zion Williamson comes back.
It also lets me know that Portland is trying to slightly rebuild. It also acknowledges for me this offseason three names you're going to hear talked about a lot in trade rumors: James Harden, Ben Simmons, and Dame Lillard.
Yep.
So if you're the Portland Trailblazers, you should be going to him with the blank check trying to get him to re-sign, or 3-2-1, he should be trying to be out. Now, I'm really happy for head coach Willie Green and the Pelicans. You add a consummate professional in C.J. McCollum, who's a 25-point scorer, to go with Brandon Ingram, who's an improved playmaker. Hopefully you get Zion back at some point, if not this season, in the future. I like the core that they're building with the Pelicans. This is a really good move for them.
And I love Herb Jones, and Valanciunas has been good for them as well. That is a pretty substantial starting five that I wouldn't want to play in the playoffs if they make it through the play-in. We'll be back tomorrow, ESPN2 at 4 p.m. Great. Jalen.
What up, though?
CJ McCollum deal was pretty substantial for both teams. I understand why both teams made their move, but we have a follow-up from Adrian Wojnarowski. Portland's plan is to fully reshape roster around Dame Lillard now. Portland created a $21 million trade exception today, potentially $60 million in salary cap space this summer, multiple draft picks and asset via Pels and Clippers trades. Plan is to pursue high-end talent now, not retreat. That makes sense to me. The CJ and Dame thing hadn't worked for years and years and years. Not always their fault. Health was always a factor. However, $60 million in cap space, you can go to Dame and say, Dame, I love your partnership with CJ, but who should we bring in? Who could work? Who could retool this roster, rejuvenate our team to put us at the top of the West, not the bottom?
It's tricky, tricky. Tricky. So I'm just going to throw a couple of names out there that I feel like, and I left one off on the show, Sabonis. I left another name off. It's four names, really, that's going to be playing like musical chairs to stay or go.
And Dame is in a different power position because he's always been loyal to Portland. Dame, Ben Simmons, James Harden, Sabonis. All-star level players. And I'm just going to say another name into the atmosphere just to say it. Bradley Beal.
Like, Julius Randle on the list too.
And Julius Randle. Correct. But I was naming people who, well, I guess Beal, is Beal an all-star this year?
I don't think so.
Yeah. See, that's what I mean. That's a perfect example of what I'm saying. Like, if Bradley Beal is playing in the East these days and he's not an all-star, he now falls into a different trade category. And so for Portland, on paper, yes, Jacoby, it sounds great to have that cap space. But I have to squint and or get a magnifying glass to look at some documents to see the last time somebody just signed a blank check to go to Portland.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Evan Turner.
Well, it's usually trades. It's usually how they get their players inside the building.
I'm talking about like a big free agent acquisition to take that cap space or a big sign and trade. Evan Turner is the one that stands out as the example.
Mm-hmm. I can't think of one.
And so I love it for the Pelicans. It's a weird space for the Blazers, but cash is always king. And so when you have that, I now look at a player like Sabonis. That if I'm them, I'm targeting him. Because he's gonna play 4-5 in the West. And I know that he's gonna be a productive player every night where Dame doesn't have to only initiate offense because he can be a triple-double, high post, you know, dribble handoff type of player. I don't see like none of the guys that I'm like, to me, they don't have a path really to Ben Simmons now.
That doesn't involve Dame, no.
Right? They don't really have a path to him now. So to me, it's almost like you're going after a player that's going to be a free agent that you can sign and trade for.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, he seems to now possibly fall into that category. But we got a couple of days for the deadline. We'll see how it play out.
Jalen, I'm going to talk about the big one. Should the Sixers and the Nets just be like, you know what? Let's do it. Simmons for Harden.
No. I'm going to tell you the number one reason why. Kevin Durant. You got to allow KD, your best player and leader, to see if he can lift this team in the playoffs and actually get them to the finals.
Mm-hmm.
If you break it up, now KD looking at you sideways because this is how he wanted it. He played with James Harden in OKC. He know what make James tick as well as anybody else. Really good friends with Kyrie, now teammates. He knows what makes Kai tick as well as anybody else, right? So this is what he signed up for. You can't be Sean Marks and bring KD into the office and say, hey, KD, I'm going to trade James. You got to let this season play out and get KD bounced. You got to let this season play out. And if KD gets bounced again with Kyrie as a part-time player and James somewhat playing disinterested, after the end of the season, you go to KD and say, hey, your man gonna opt out.
Mm-hmm.
We got a trade partner here for Ben Simmons, who Jalen Rose thinks is actually a better fit for us.
Much better fit. Much better
than James Harden. And so.
But I hope Sean Marks says it like that. Who Jalen Rose think would be a better fit?
You know, oh, yeah, because I'm speaking for me, I guess, right?
Yeah, I know. I'm just kidding.
Right. And so, like, now James Harden with Embiid, I love that. And he can hang out at Delilah's more. You know what I mean? He have more freedom to get in. AI roam the streets of Philly. Charles Barkley roam the streets of Philly. You know what I'm saying?
He'll be fine there. You know, Brooklyn, you know, he feels kind of boxed in with the Knicks being in town too. He need to spread his elbows and be the only NBA team in the city. You know what I mean? He can eat as many cheesesteaks as he want from Geno's. And so, like, I like it, but I don't like it during the season. And it's not going to take place because of Kevin Durant.
James Harden's not playing tonight due to hamstring tightness.
He got us, is what I would be saying. Because just last week, he woke up the other day and he had hand soreness. And yeah, let me just tell you this.
Hand strain to hamstring. He's just switching up a couple consonants.
I'm not going to even use no hand jokes. I'm not going to even use none. Here's what I'll say. I played in the NBA at a time where I broke my hand, shattered it. In order to put my hand back together, they needed to put a plate in it and five screws to hold my two fingers on one side together with the two fingers on the other side. When I came back, that part of my hand was swollen, still busted and stitched to this day. I put on a Michael Jackson glove. I cut the fingers out and I put like a cast on top of it. Like, this is like a contraption that I personally made. You know what I mean? Like, straight up, like I bought a glove where you could slide something in it to where, cause dudes was whacking it, dog. Mm-hmm. But you know what else? I was playing. Like, when I broke it against Golden State, rest in peace, Cliff Robinson, I went down, slapped down on the ball, and I shattered my hand at the Warriors. I went to the timeout, I looked at the whole squad, I said, I just broke my hand, but I'm about to finish the game. Yo, when you throw me the outlet, Danielle, I'm seriously, dog, throw it on my right side. I can't, my hand messed up. You know what I'm saying? Finished that game, made a little like floater in the lane with a broken hand and made two free throws. And we won that game. I flew home and had surgery and my hand ain't been the same since. So when I hear a dude woke up and had a sore hand and ain't playing in the NBA game, I want people to know. I've been in the league, I've been covering the league for 20 years. I only say a portion of what I know about these human beings' lives because I'm in the foxhole. I ain't on the outside looking in. Everybody, they know I know too. And I've been knowing them longer than them. The places that they go, I've been going too because I've been going there longer. And you know this, Jacoby. And I'm going to say this. I've been saying that man been disinterested all year. And I can show you my phone, the human beings from their team that affiliated with him, that are fans, supporters, whatever. Why do I keep saying that? Because I know what I know. But then here's what I know. Better what I see. And when the ball go in the backcourt at Detroit and it rolls by his feet and he don't pick it up, and Sadiq Bey run 25 feet to pick up the ball, pick the ball up, and then go dunk it with zero resistance, he don't want to be there.
Dog, if they had a ratio, and I really hope someone pulls up the second spectrum data and does this. How many times has James Harden been off the ball, made a cut, caught the ball, and then scored?
Not
versus
this year.
How many minutes he's played, he's number one in the league. He's number one in the league lowest at that.
Not this year.
Minutes.
He did it a couple of times last year. But I pointed this out in Houston when he's playing
Houston,
with CP.
But seeing a lot of the same tendencies. Last year, it seemed like he was like a little more movie without the ball. Like he was doing things.
Hold on. Let me just be the human being that says this out loud. We get on Russ, but Harden has also played with some notable players. And Chris Paul got kicked out of the James Harden kingdom in Houston and went to Siberia, OKC, and had to rebuild himself in his name. And now he's on the best team in the NBA and starting and is in an all-star game and is in an MVP conversation. And we still have a conversations about James Harden's happiness.
Yep.
So, like, that's why, like, for me, it was tough to see players like him and Anthony Davis in particular in the top 75. Because a lot of that is projection, too. Mm. It's anticipation of what people think is going to happen. If James Harden never played again, is he one of the top 75? Yeah. You look Probably. Back at it. You look back at the totality of his career. I have to give it to him. Yes.
AD, I'm saying no.
But AD, on the outside. You know what I mean? And Dwight Howard actually deserved it to me at that point in time. But either way, the point I'm trying to make is current players in the top 75. Dame injured this year. Can't do nothing about it. James Harden, we talking about his happiness. Anthony Davis, thank you. Thank you. You dominating the paint, you playing the five. I've been asking for this for years. He's dunking.
He's been looking
again.
Good. Since he came back, again. He looks good. He looks
he's
good.
He's dunking again. That's what good. He's doing. He's dunking again. You know what I mean? And so, like, I don't see a Simmons-Harden trade happening now for the reasons I said. During the offseason, it makes total sense for both sides.
What about Sabonis?
Sabonis got to get his bread. Shout to Cleveland, too, adding Caris LeVert. I know people ain't going to talk too much about that, but I like that move.
Oh, much like the Pelicans, if you go Herb Jones, C.J. McCollum.
Correct.
Zion, Brandon Ingram, and Valanciunas. I'm like, that's a five.
Yeah.
And Cleveland got the same thing. Let's include Sexton, just like moving forward. Garland, Sexton, LeVert, Mobley, Allen. Who's the oldest player there? Like LeVert, probably, right?
I like it.
Like, he's the oldest player in that five. Everybody else has been in the league for 3 years or less.
Remember I told you this.
Allen probably four, but whatever.
Remember I told you this. Sexton to be the guy you move in order to keep building it out.
It's hard because we haven't seen it yet. You know what I mean? We just haven't, because he's been injured. So let's see. But I believe in Sexton and Garland. Garland's having a great year. All
yes. Far. But it's going to be some big names. I mean, like you mentioned, Julius Randle, Sabonis. I like Sabonis a few spots, but he got to get his bread. That's the important thing for him.
Julius Randle unfollowed the Knicks. And then we saw the video against the Lakers with the assistant coach with the laptop trying to show Julius something. Julius doesn't like it, moves the laptop. Assistant coach doesn't really fall back, says something back.
I got advice.
What's your advice?
Dear Julius, you're handling this all wrong, sir. Take it from an OG. And you're handling it wrong because you're allowing the pressure to get to you. You know what I know. Last year was a magical season. And like any most improved player, because I've been one, you want to come back and show that year wasn't no fluke. Mm-hmm. I've been there. Mm-hmm. Because I made sure my numbers the next year after most improved was going to be better. I told myself that all summer. This ain't just like no one season. Like I'm about to build on this. And the next 5 years, I believe I averaged 20. Those five
you won
years.
You won in 2000 or 01?
2000.
2000, yeah.
Correct. And so you got to gauge the room. When I'm in Indiana and I just get traded there and Larry Brown gives me 15 DMPs, me kicking the ball in practice or me pouting, all that does is further get me buried.
Mm-hmm.
Because ain't nobody care about me. Nobody care about me. I could have been out of the league. I had those days where I was at games and wasn't leaving nobody tickets. You see what I'm saying? I was living in Indiana with paper on the windows. Cause I was like, I ain't buying no drapes. I ain't buying nothing. I want to leave. And so now that magical season goes into the next year of expectation. You play in New York City, some of the loudest, most unforgiving fans in any sport are in New York. I played for New York. I also played for one of their rivals, the Pacers. So I've seen all sides of this. You gotta judge the room. You know you're shooting 30% from three, and you know that y'all hovering around the eighth seed. So you know what you gotta do in those situations, Jacoby? Say less.
Mm-hmm.
The two words, say less. Stay low, keep firing. That's the only thing you can do. I joked about him doing the thumbs down. I talked about the fact that I knew that they were gonna take a step back. But now, when you double down, it's like Jalen splitting kings at the blackjack table. Like, you can split those kings when you see the dealer showing a five. But I don't wanna hear nothing when he pull a six and you have 20. You see what I'm saying? And so now you gotta do what all of us gotta do. When you ain't balling and y'all ain't winning, you gotta accept the criticism.
Mm-hmm. The thumbs down was one thing. That was kind of towards the fans. And it's just like, Julius, these are the same fans that were so excited to be back in the Garden at the playoffs, you know, going crazy. Those are the same exact fans that supported you so much when y'all were winning. Of course, it's going to flip a little bit when you start losing. Winning is the best deodorant. It's one of my favorite things you've ever said in this program. Is you got to understand that during these times, it comes with it. Stay low, keep firing, work hard. Don't unfollow the Knicks on social media. You're just sending a message. And don't make the fans turn on you. Just win basketball games.
Well,
that's all you got to do.
Well, here's what happens. And this happened to me a little bit when I left Chicago. Different situation, different expectations. When I got there, they had 9 wins and was in the lottery. And when I left, we were still in the lottery. So it is. But when I left, I paid $10,000 and took out an ad and put it in a newspaper to thank the fans. Because even though our team wasn't winning, I immersed myself in that community. I had celebrity weekends. I did some things with my foundation. That's where I met Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
She worked for the Bulls. I hired her from the team. She worked for the Bulls. I was like, wait a minute, hold on. They got you by yourself? Like, overseeing all 15 of us right now? Like, oh, okay, word. I sat back and watched that for like 6 months. I'm like, how much they pay you?
Michelle is Jalen's executive assistant and consigliere and everything, right? Right arm woman, left arm woman for Jalen. He's lefty.
No doubt. You have not talked to me or made an appointment with me in the last 20 years and not gone through Michelle. With that being said, I wanted to do something to pay homage to the fans and to the city. So I paid $10,000 and took out an ad and put it in the paper. But before they were about to trade me, like the last 2 or 3 months, the team starts to do things to slander your name that the public doesn't see, because this is business. Let me give y'all some game. There are human beings that showing up at the game and seeing Jalen Rose averaging 25. So when you trade Jalen, people gonna be like, why are you trading him? Trade the other 14 guys. So what ends up happening is you gotta start sprinkling things negative about that person to devalue them to the casual person. So now when you move them, people be like, ah, that's why they moved them. But I was smart enough not to feed into that. So there was a time when we were at New Orleans. Bill Cartwright put the starting lineup on the board, Jacoby. Jamal Crawford wasn't up there. And I wasn't up there. I'm like, hold on. I'm like, ninth in the league in scoring. Like, I'm the captain. I'm like, hold on. I'm like,
you really think the team's gonna be better without me out there?
Right, I'm like, all right. I'm like, okay, cool. We was playing against Baron Davis and Jamal Mashburn. Lil Wayne was at the game sitting front row. I'll never forget this. He put me in the game. I went off. I think I made like my first seven shot. I had like 35. Like I went off. And the thing is, I started the next game. So I say this to say, my career high in college was the only game I didn't start at Iowa, 34 points. That's the only game I didn't start, happens to be my career high. I know when times get tough, I can draw on myself to deliver. And so to Julius Randle, when times are tough, you gotta rely on yourself to deliver. You can't now, you can't succumb to the pressure. The assistant in your face, he got the laptop. You gotta let that live because it's 20,000 people watching and you know it. And so you know what gotta happen now. And this is where I put a bow on this story. The same people that were saying he was the king of New York last year, when they trade him, they're gonna be happy.
Mm-hmm.
He could have avoided that by saying less. And then when you get moved, some of those same people will appreciate your season. So don't alienate them. When he comes back to play against the Knicks, you ready for this? He gonna get booed.
No, no, standing O. Standing O.
He'll get booed.
Standing O. Standing O.
He'll get booed.
Standing O. Standing O. If he gets traded the next 3 days, standing O. Standing O. If he gets traded in the offseason after some more disparaging remarks in the press, that's when he gets booed.
Duh.
If it feels like the team moved on from him, he gets a standing O. If it feels like he moved on from the team,
I gotta tell you a secret. When you watch your Knicks play,
they ain't my Knicks this year. They've been Knicks this year, though.
Just like when you watch the Lakers play, I know sometimes we have multiple like things happening in our lives where we watching TV, looking at our phone, listening to the music. But when the Lakers and the Knicks play, I want y'all to turn up the volume. They're booing Julius Randle already, and he's still on the team. What do you mean? They're not gonna boo him when he leaves. They're booing him now, and he's on the team. That's why he did a thumbs down, remember?
Of course I do.
So they'll give him a ceremonial video tribute for winning Most Improved, and people will stand up and key for a minute. But trust me, the heartbeat of what you know as the New York Knickerbocker fan base now see him as an adversary. You know this.
Yep.
What does your New York Knick text chain say about Julius Randle unfollowing the team and doing the thumbs down and shooting 30 for 3?
It's moved on from that. Now it's just fake trades. Now it's just fake trades. What can we get from Randle? That's what it is. But shout out to RJ Barrett, who's been playing well. You know what I mean?
Yep.
RJ Barrett's really coming into his own. Not everybody comes in the league and lights it on fire. You know what I mean? Like, I think a lot of times, like, especially with rookies or high draft picks, is like we kind of expect them to be Evan Mobley this year. Look like they've been playing for 4 years and they belong and they're gonna be all stars forever. Not everybody does that. Some players it takes a year or two to develop into their own. And some tells me that's gonna happen with RJ and your guy Cade Cunningham.
No question. I got to say three words also to New York Knickerbocker fans. While y'all booing Julius Randle, y'all should be booing Coach Tibbs. Free Cam Reddish. What's happening?
They traded for him. He passed the physicals, right? Did he pass physicals? Is he good? They traded for him.
Dog. Cam Reddish. Dog, there's no way he should be getting DNPs on any NBA team right now. Like, there should be minutes for him on every roster in the league. Not flat out DNPs, dog. And so, like, the Knicks got a lot of head scratching things happening over there right now.
Yeah, man. Well, Jalen, I want to say thank you to Marshall Faulk for coming on. He was great. I'm starting to really wrap my head around the Super Bowl and my prop bets and my predictions. So you're going to get a lot of that the rest of the week from Jalen and Jacoby. We will be back tomorrow with another dope pod to step to. Why is that, Jalen?
We're not
Anthony
done.
Rose.
We're not done. We are not done.